Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to Harvest Baptist Church. It is Sunday, the 17th of August, 2025. In today's study through the New Testament, we're going to be looking at the subject of prayer, a prescription for prayer. And certainly throughout the New Testament, we find that that is a main topic, telling us all about prayer, what can be accomplished through prayer, how to pray, so many things about it. And we hope that this will be a blessing to you today. As we're getting ready for today's worship service, we're going to begin with an old hymn, and I'd encourage you to sing along if you know it. It's called Sweet Hour of Prayer. Would you please bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you've commanded us to pray at all times, with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, being alert in perseverance and petition for all believers to continue in prayer and by prayer and supplication to make our requests known to you, O Lord. You have directed us to ask, seek, and knock, promising that we will receive, we will find, and it will be open to us. You have appointed us a great high priest, in whose name we may draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. You have assured us that the prayers of the upright are your delight. You are the one who hears our prayers. You tell us, "Seek my face," and our hearts answers, "Only your face shall we seek." Where else shall we go, O Lord, but to you? For you have the words of eternal life. We humbly come before you, grateful for the precious gift of direct access into your presence. Thank you for inviting us to share our hearts, our burdens, and our joys with you. We ask you now to fill us with your Spirit so that we may understand the truth of your word for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have been studying the establishment and expansion of the early church. As the gospel spread, so did the dangers of persecution, false teaching, and misapplication of doctrinal truths. The apostles served the churches by instructing them, encouraging them, and exhorting them to faithfulness in their Christian walks. We have seen many practical instructions given to the church by Peter, Paul, John, and others. As we've worked our way through the epistles, you may have noticed a common aspect in most of them. Paul almost always began and ended his prayers with some sort of prayer, or his letters with some sort of prayer for the believers. Many of the others similarly wrote prayers for those to whom they wrote. Prayer is an important part of the Christian life, and today we're going to focus on what prayer looks like in the life of the believer. If you are like most believers, your prayer life is probably one of the aspects of your Christian walk that you are the least satisfied with. Prayer can be hard to understand. Why should we pray? How should we pray? When should we pray? These are all questions that we can look to the Bible to answer for us. God has called us to pray to Him, but He has not left us without loving guidance on how to do so. In short, prayer is simply communion with God, relating to Him as we would to another person. By one accounting, there are over 600 prayers found in the pages of Scripture. While the Bible has much more to say about prayer than we could cover in today's sermon, we are going to get a big picture view of what is revealed to us and for us. I want us to begin by reading Philippians 4:4-7 together as we try to understand a bit more about prayer as it is described in Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. First, let's consider the context. Paul and Timothy were writing to the church in Philippi, offering them instruction and guidance on various topics. This closing section of the letter has several short passages on these assorted subjects. What commands are present in these verses? Rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known. Do not be anxious, and pray to God. Why do you think the command not to be anxious is attached to prayer? Our attitude as we come to prayer should be one where our minds are focused on God's ability to provide what we need. Therefore, we should not worry. If we are anxious or worried, it reveals that we are not trusting God in our circumstances. What two words are used to describe our communication with God? Yes, prayer and petition. In this case, I think some of the older translations, like the King James Version, are clearer in the wording they use. I think you will see my point. Prayer is a general word for petitions to God, while petition, or supplication, has the meaning of making specific requests where there is a need. These words are found together in other passages, like Ephesians 6:18 and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Notice in verse 6 that an attitude of thanksgiving should accompany our communication with God. It is clear that our prayerful requests are to be made to God the Father. Then, as verse 7 clarifies, as we pray to God, trusting in His character, we should find the peace of God in our hearts. Paul describes this peace as surpassing our ability to understand. Paul's use of hearts and minds refers to our total being. He goes on to tell us that we will be guarded in Christ Jesus. Here the word guard is drawn from a military term used to describe keeping watch over something. Beloved, isn't this comforting to know? Jesus Christ Himself is on guard over our lives. So let's make the connection between anxiety or worry in verse 6 and peace in verse 7. When we go to God in prayer, trusting in His perfect character, the anxiety and worry we have for our circumstances can be replaced by the peace of knowing that Jesus is standing guard over our lives. The next passage I want us to look at is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This passage adds to our understanding of prayer. We are to pray without ceasing and with an attitude of thanksgiving in all circumstances. The incentive for us to rejoice and pray is found in verse 18. Where the apostle writes that this is God's will for us in Jesus. How is the command to rejoice always related to the Philippians passage we were looking at a few minutes ago? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul gave a similar command to always rejoice in the Lord. So how should we understand always and without ceasing in these commands? Well, they cannot mean for us to be in silent, devoted prayer all of the time, or else we would not be able to fulfill other commands or even sleep. They have the sense of having a constant attitude of joy in the Lord and prayerful communion with our Heavenly Father. Also, we are to do so in all circumstances, not just in the good times or the bad times when we feel like it. As Christians, God calls us to constant communion with Him through prayer. Prayer should be a constant part of our lives. However, this doesn't mean we have to stop, bow our heads, and fold our hands every time we pray. We can offer silent prayers to God as we go about the other business He has called us to. We don't have to stop at specified times. We are to offer Him praise or ask Him for wisdom at any time. When we offer our prayers to God, we are trusting in His attributes. For example, God's graciousness is demonstrated in giving us good gifts. As a good father, He will not give us a stone when we ask Him for bread. Since God is sovereign, we can trust Him in whatever circumstances we may find ourselves. Our ability to approach God in prayer relates to our adoption as children of God. As children of God, we can approach Him as our Father and ask Him to act on our behalf. As we come, we make requests of Him and not demands. Since we are united with Jesus, we have communion with God, and offering prayer to Him is one of the benefits of our adoption. Further, we can think of prayer in a Trinitarian way. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son by the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, many Christians struggle to have a satisfying prayer life. It seems that we pray the same old things in the same old ways. But the types of prayers in the Bible are quite diverse, and we can use them as a framework to go to God in prayer. There are many helpful models of prayer, but we're going to look at one of my favorites, known as the ACTS model. As an acronym, the A stands for adoration, C is for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S is for supplication. Now we're going to look at examples of prayers which fit into each of these categories. Let's look at each of these categories using various passages of Scripture and talk briefly about how they can be turned into prayer. Adoration means to offer worship to God for who He is in all of His character, glory, holiness, and beauty. If we begin a time of prayer by acknowledging the amazing attributes of God and praising Him for these things, it sets our minds in the right frame for communion with Him. The Psalms are full of adoration that blesses God for His works and character. In fact, Psalms 144 through 150 are all psalms of this kind of praise. For our example, we're going to look at Psalm 145, verses 1 through 9. And I do want to point out something interesting about this psalm. It is actually an acrostic psalm. Now, acrostics in Hebrew are a little bit different from the way that we consider acrostics, but each section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet all in order. So the first one we start off with is Aleph in verse 1. I will exalt you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Then Beth, every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Gimel, great is Yahweh, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Daleth, one generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty deeds. He, on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on the words of your wondrous deeds, I will muse. Vav, men shall speak of the strength of your fearsome acts, and I will recount your greatness. Zion, they shall pour forth the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Heth, Yahweh is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. Teth, Yahweh is good to all, and His compassions are over all His works. How does this passage reflect the adoration of God? Verses 4 and 5 speak of blessing God for the things He has done. Verse 7 says we are to bless God for His righteousness. Verse 8 tells us to praise Him for His grace, mercy, and steadfast love. And verse 9 reminds us to extol Him for His goodness to all. We can turn the psalm into a prayer by reading each phrase as a prayer of praise to God for his attributes and works. Confession is another important aspect of prayer where we bring our individual acts of sin to God. While there is no need to wait for a specific time of prayer to confess sin, we can pause during a time of devoted prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind any sins we need to confess in order to cleanse our conscience before God. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, and see what it has to say about our confession. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This passage informs us that if we say we have no sin to confess in prayer, we are deceiving ourselves and are calling God a liar by denying that we have sinned. Verse 9 explains that when we confess our sins, God promises he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. According to verse 7, we can be cleansed from our sins because God is just to forgive us because Christ has paid the penalty for our sins with his blood. Now we're going to look at Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It tells us a little bit more about confession. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. This passage can be used as a prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind the things we need to confess to God. If you were just able to take a breath, you have a reason to thank God. Thanksgiving is an attitude we should bring to prayer, but we can also take time to identify certain things for which we are thankful. These can range from the simplest of joys in our lives, such as the ability to hear a bird's song, to physical blessings like a house or good health, to the gift of salvation and the opportunity to commune with God in prayer. The opportunities to thank God are endless. In Psalm 95 and verse 2 we read, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a loud shout to him with songs of praise." This verse calls on us to come into his presence with thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and manifests through us the aroma of the knowledge of him in every praise." In this verse, Paul thanks God for the victory in Christ as the message of the gospel spreads. Also in 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, we read, "But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our plea, but being himself very earnest, he has gone out to you of his own accord." In this example, Paul was thanking God for the love he placed in the heart of Titus for the Corinthians. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, we find, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. According to verse 20, we are to thank God for everything at all times and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. While it is not a word we use every day, supplication is something that we do every day. It simply means to make a request. Father God, can you supply this for me? It can be for ourselves, on behalf of others. Sometimes this is referred to as intercession. But it is asking God to act in a certain way. As we mentioned earlier, this is not a demand to God, but a request that is in line with His will. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Jesus taught His disciples to pray in this way. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice what Jesus requests in this prayer. He asks for God's will to be accomplished, for daily bread or food, forgiveness, and to not be led into temptation. Considering our Acts model, what other elements do you see in this prayer? Well, there's adoration in honoring God's name, confession, and seeking forgiveness for debts. Then going to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, we learn, For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would give you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. In this prayer, Paul asks God to strengthen the Ephesian saints with the various spiritual blessings mentioned. He makes these requests on the basis of the riches of God's glory. While there are certainly other aspects of prayer that we could include, this Acts model can offer a helpful way to structure a devoted time of prayer to God. As with any other method or tool, it may become a bit stale if it is overused, but it is sure to help us focus on God as not only the one we are praying to, but also the one who can answer our prayers as He pleases. So what have we learned from God's Word this morning? Well, there have probably been thousands of books written on the subject of prayer, and the Bible is filled with examples of prayers from cover to cover. We know that we have only scratched the surface on what the Bible has to teach us on this topic, but I hope that today's study will spur you on to learn more on your own or with others. Prayer is an amazing privilege. We have direct access to the Creator of the universe, and He is pleased to hear from us. Whether it is a prayer of lament, a confession of sin, or a request, We can approach the throne of grace with confidence and boldness, knowing that our sovereign God will hear us. As we trust that God knows all and has all power, we can trust that He will answer our prayers in the manner that brings Him the most glory. The answer may not always be what we want, but it will be what is best in every situation, because God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Would you bow with me again in prayer? Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts, we thank You for the precious privilege of prayer. We cherish this sacred connection where we can share our burdens, seek Your guidance, and experience Your peace. May we never take this gift for granted, and may our prayers rise as fragrant offerings to You. Help us remember that through prayer we find strength and undergo transformation. With the Holy Spirit as our guide, teach us to pray more effectively. Help us to love one another and all believers sacrificially. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we're going to close with hymn number 435, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Today's benediction comes to us from Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Beloved, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hope that you'll have a blessed week. We thank you for tuning into our service this morning. And if you are in our area and are able to come, we will be having a Bible study this coming Wednesday at 10 a.m. and we're going to be talking a little bit more about this subject of prayer. God bless you.